of a couple of old blokes walking through a paddock. And they're going through the paddock and they realised that they heard this noise behind them. And they turned around and saw a bull running at them. And they just started to run. They knew that this was not going to end well. So they're running and realising the bull is catching up to them. So one turns to the other and says, "Mate, you got to pray. Pray something." He says, "I don't know what to pray. I don't know what prayer is." He says, "You got to pray something." And he says, "I'll pray the only prayer I know. It's what my dad used to pray when we sat down at the table. For what we're about to receive, O Lord, make us truly thankful." What are we thankful for? Are we thankful for only the things that are good, only for the big things? Or are we thankful all the time? Are we thankful for who God is and what he's doing in our lives? We're doing a series on self-discipline. And it comes out of our theme for the year. And it talks about if you remain in me or abide in me. And we're looking at saying, how do we abide in Christ? How do we put patterns into our lives, habits into our lives, which are going to help us to grow in Christ and come closer to Christ? Because the more we connect him with God, the more able to be more of who we are. So how can we abide with Christ? So we're looking at spiritual disciplines. This is week two. And we're looking at thankfulness. Are you grateful for that? That was a trick. So I want to look at thankfulness. So often thankfulness is only in the good things. We have a choice of what happens in our life, of either walking in bitterness or walking in gratefulness. And God's calling us to be able to walk in gratefulness, in thankfulness, to be able to see the good of what's around us and not be able to focus on the bad. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Is this us? Do we rejoice constantly, always? Do we pray continually? Do we give thanks in all circumstances? I want to quickly look at Daniel. Daniel lived out his life early in the Old Testament. He lived in an occupied country. He was given a role of responsibility. There was a huge amount of jealousy and frustration over him as he tried to live his life out for God. In fact, so much that some of the people came together and put forward a decree. And the decree was that if you pray to any other god but our king, then we kill you. And Daniel knew that that was against him. So what would your response be? You're doing your best. You're going about all you can do. You go about doing your life as best as you can. You're trying to be God and do what God wants you to do. You're doing as good as you can. And then all these people come together and say, "We got you, buddy. We've just got a decree. If you pray to anyone but the boss, you'll be killed. So what would you do?" What did Daniel do? In Daniel 6. "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he has done before." Daniel went home and prayed, inviting anyone to prosecute him, to say, "Praying and thanking God is more important than my life. It's more important than anything that I have." In this time where he was pointed at and persecuted, he knew his God was good and he knew he'd need to live a life of thankfulness, to live a life of prayer and a life of thanksgiving. And that's what he did. Do we cry out in our bad days, or do we only be thankful for when good things happen around us? So often we're like the little boy that was walking through the park with his mum, and this man came and gave him an orange. And the mum says, "Boy, what are you going to say to the man?" And he thinks about it and looks up and he gives the orange back and says, "Peel it." How often are we grateful for what we see, and how much do we say, "I want more. I want more. I'm not happy with that"? Giving thanks is a celebration. It's rejoicing in what we see have been done. When we're celebrating, when we're thankful, we're taking what's happening around us and seeing the good things that God is doing in us and through us. We're seeing the good things that are happening around us. Maturity is making the choice to chase after and to see the good things around us, to be grateful for what God is doing. John Piper said, God wants us to grow into mature, thoughtful, wise, humble, thankful people. The opposite is childish. When I'm ungrateful, I am selfish and immature. When I'm overflowing with gratitude, I am healthy, other-oriented, servant-minded, Christ-exalting and joyful. The challenge for us as we become closer or more mature is to make choices which are gratefulness in choices of servanthood, churches of being obedient, choices of being more and more like Jesus. So how are we going with that? Philippians 4:4-8 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. We're called to make choices in our life. Life happens around us. We have choice of saying, I'm just going to focus on what's bad. I'm going to focus on what's hard, what's horrible. I'm going to choose to look at where God is working and God is doing good things. I'm going to choose to be a person who rejoices. I'm going to be a person who chooses to be grateful and be thankful. But there are things that stop us from being thankful. And the first thing is thoughtlessness. Our word thank and our word think come from similar words, similar roots. And if you think about thankfulness, it actually is thinking. We're thanking because we're thinking about what's gone on in the past. It's so much easier just to keep going. And what we do is we build on and build on and build on. We don't actually reflect on the good things that's happening around us. The thoughtful, we become a place of thoughtlessness, not seeing how God is doing good things in us and through us. Thankfulness comes out of a realization of the blessings that God has given us. Psalm 103, 105, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We need to think, we need to ponder and reflect to be able to see what God has done and what God is doing. Another thing that stops us is our faithlessness. So often, our thankfulness is based on our faithfulness of what we know God to have done. Do we have a genuine belief in God that sees who he is and what he's doing in us and around us? Or are we just chasing after what we perceive, what we do? Are we able to see God doing great things in us and through us, or do we just look at my goals and what I've done and to focus on them? Many people suffer from discontent. And discontent is the thanks, but. It's like I'm grateful, but I want more. It's the orange. It's that I'm never satisfied with enough. And although I see God doing stuff, I want more and I'm pushing God to do more. And that steals our thankfulness. It steals what God is doing. Philippians 4:11 says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And the fourth thing I have, the fourth barrier that we have to thankfulness is selfishness. We're so often focused on ourselves and what we want that we miss the point of what's going on around us. We see the parable of the debtor, and the boss forgives the debt of this person 10,000 talents. And I'll just read from Matthew 18. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and he began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown in prison till he could pay the debt. The guy who was forgiven the debt was forgiven like $10 million. And he persecuted and chased after someone who owed him $18. We live in a place of grace and mercy. We live in a place where God has done so many amazing things in us and through us and for us. And so often we take that grace and we put it to the side and say, well, you've done, I'm not pointing to you. you've done something to offend me. I'm just not going to accept that. And yet we turn around and say, God, forgive me for all the things I've done. Our selfishness blinds us to what God wants us to be, blinds us to what others have done for us, and we take that and say, but you've wronged me. God's calling us to a higher place. Matthew Henry, who was a scholar many years ago, wrote in his diary, "Let me be thankful." He was robbed, and so he was reflecting on being robbed. He says, "Let me be thankful, firstly, because I've never been robbed before. Secondly, though he took my purse, he did not take my life. Thirdly, though he took my all, it wasn't that much. And fourthly, because it was I who was robbed and not someone else." How often do we take a step out of ourselves and to take a good look around? So often we're so trapped in our selfishness, our self-focus, we can't see anything because we're blinded to the world. There's things that stop us from being thankful. But there's so much more that we gain out of thankfulness. So what do I gain from being grateful? There's been so much psychological studies on thankfulness to understand what that looks like. And one of the things that's come out is that gratitude literally changes our biochemistry. It makes us healthier. When we're thankful, it releases dopamine and serotonin, which are the neural transmitters. They're responsible for our emotions. They make us feel good. They make us feel stronger. They make us feel happy. It also lowers the cortisol, which is the stress hormone. So being thankful actually changes our biochemistry. But God's calling us to be thankful because he understands that this changes us. And psychology is starting to understand that what God said is actually good and healthy for us. So there's a physical benefit from thankfulness. But there's another place where being thankful gives us a better perspective on life. There's a story about a rich man who took his son away to live on a poor people's farm to get a perspective of being rich and what it means and how good it is. And they lived there for a few days just experiencing a very different life. And the dad said, how was the trip? And the son said, oh, yeah, it was good. It was great. Did you see where poor people lived? And he said, yeah. So the dad asked me, what did you get out of the trip? And the boy's response was, I saw that we have one dog and they have four. We have a pool that reaches to the middle of our garden and they have a creek that has no end. We have imported lanterns in our garden and they have the stars at night. Our patio reaches to the front yard and they have the whole horizon. We have a small piece of land to live on, and they have fields that go beyond our sight. We have servants who serve us, but they serve others. We buy our food, but they grow their own. We have a fence around our property to protect us, but they have friends to protect them. The boy's father was speechless, and his son said, thank you, Dad, for showing how poor we truly are. Thankfulness helps our perspective of understanding who we are and where we are. Thankfulness helps us to understand the perspective or who we are with God. When I control my life and something good happens, who do I thank? Me. But when we acknowledge that God is in control of my life, when we thank God, we're acknowledging that He is God. That I don't have all the control around me, but God is in control. As we are grateful and as we are thankful, our perspective changes. But we need to be able to say, okay, how do I be grateful for the small things and not just the big things? There's things constantly happening around us that we can focus on and being grateful for. I have a picture of what gratitude looks like. Who's got a dog? What happens when you open the front door and come home? What should happen if you've got a good dog? Notice I didn't use the word cat because the cat just doesn't care. But when you... Cats don't care. Cats are bad. I've got chooks. My chooks love me. Bit different to a dog. But when you open the door, the dog's there going, oh, thank you for coming home. It's so good to be here. It's a picture of thankfulness. Is that how we are thankful? Is that how we are thankful to God? Is that how we are thankful to those around us? Do we chase after finding ways to be grateful? Or do we just expect things to happen around us? We need to change our perspective, and gratefulness, thankfulness, changes our perspective. It gives God control as far as I try to take control. Thankfulness enables God to take God's place, enables us to be able to see our place below Him, beyond Him. Psychologists say that family, friends, and faith enable us to beat depression and enable us to beat mental health issues. That when we're able to be able to see who God is, when we have a faith that enables us to have a strength, a basis, a foundation to stand on, we have friends and family around us and enables us to be more positive and stronger. We need to be able to give time to be able to see God, to be thankful to God, be thankful to those around us, be thankful for the things that happen to us. It enables me to see God's provision. As we stop and as we reflect and as we're grateful, we see what God has done. So often we're on this conveyor belt of life. And as the conveyor belt goes, it's just fix the problem, solve the problem, solve the problem, get it done, solve the problem. That's our life constantly. We need to take a step off the conveyor belt and to be able to sit and reflect on what's gone on in the past. As we reflect on what God has done, as we reflect on what God is doing in and through us, we become more understanding and more grateful for the life that we have. We become more faithful for the life that's in front of us. And that leads us to build my hope and my faith. Our hope is built on what God has promised. What God has promised is based on how He has been faithful to us through the generations, through the years. As we reflect on what God's done, and as we're thankful for what God has done, we trust Him to continue to be good. We know that God can do great things in and through us because He's done that in the past. We know He can answer our prayers because He has done that in the past. Thankfulness reveals our place in God's team. As we start to be thankful for those around us, we are learning what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. We are a part of God's body. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so often we don't feel that, we don't acknowledge that, because we're not actually walking in a realm of gratefulness, of thankfulness. We're not thanking God for what He's doing in us and through us, around us. We're just focused on who we are. So what do we have to be thankful for? Firstly, we're thankful for God because He's good. God doesn't just do good. God is good. God is good all of the time. And God will do good things in us and through us. And we're grateful because God is good. We're also thankful to God for His love. He has shown us His love. Romans 5:8, God has demonstrated His love in this, is while we're still sinners that He died for us. God has showed us His love. He has showed us the value that He puts on our lives. Oswald Chambers said, God is love, not God is loving. God and love are synonymous. Love is not an attribute of God. It is God. Whatever God is, love is. If your conception of love does not agree with justice and judgment and purity and holiness, then your idea of love is wrong. God is love. What else can we be thankful for? We're thankful because God gave his son. God sent his son to walk on earth, to be amongst us, to understand what it is to be human, to connect with us, to build relationships, to show us what we can be, how we can live. Jesus lived and was rejected by us. He was suffered for us. He was killed on a cross for us. He died so that my sin would be taken by him. He died so that I might be one with God. Jesus conquered sin by raising from the dead, giving us hope, giving us life, giving us a doorway, a pathway into heaven for eternity. We can be grateful for God because he has given us his son. We can be thankful to God for his abiding presence, that God is with us. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are with us. They walk with us. They walk with us every day. They are with us no matter what. And we're thankful to God because of God's family, our family. We're thankful that we don't walk in this life alone, but we walk with others. We have a family who have got our back, a family who smiles with us, who laugh with us, who cry with us. We have a family who support us and live life with us. The story of a little boy, and before a meal, he was asked to pray. And as he looked down with the meal, there was a lot of stuff he didn't like. And his prayer was, "Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but thank you for it, and I'll eat it anyway. Amen." There's times where those around us are sometimes a little difficult, where we're offended, where we're hurt. But there's still people that love us and care for us, who support us and walk with us in the journey of life. We have the body of Christ. We have the family of God who enables us to know who God is and to walk with God. It wouldn't be right if I didn't give some practical tips. And over this next journey, I said last week, take something away each week to practice for the week. As we go through the spiritual disciplines, there's going to be, I think, 10 or 11 of them. So we can't just take everything on board straight up, but give it a go. This week, how are you going to work out thankfulness? How are you going to build gratefulness and thankfulness into your life this week? We're about to take communion. And as we take communion, I'm going to ask you the same question. What are you committing to God this week to be able to be more thankful for what is in your life? So here's a couple of things that might help. Firstly, being grateful is like a muscle. We build our muscles by stressing our muscles and pushing our muscles. And if we want to be grateful people, we need to start small and to practice and to practice and to practice. For us to be able to know how to be grateful, it's small steps. Don't expect to be able to sit there for 2 hours just being grateful for everything on the first day. But it's something we build, we practice, we learn, we put into our lives. So what's some helps? The first thing is, don't be picky. Appreciate everything. Look for the little things. If we just say thank you God for the big things, then there's a short list. If we thank God for the little things, we get a very, very long list. Thank you that we live here. Thank you that the sun is shining. Thank you that we got a little bit of rain. It'd be good to get some more. Thank you that we have people around us. Thank you that we have people who support us and care for us. Thank you that we can come to the church this morning and to be able to be in a place where we're not persecuted or chased down, but we can. Thank you that we have people around us who can pray with us and care for us. Thank you for the people who support us. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Thank you for Jesus that you've forgiven me for my sins, all of my sins. Thank you that you give me a future and you give me a hope. And I could go on. Take the small things and appreciate everything. The second thing is to find gratitude in your challenges. I'm not saying we don't have challenges in my life, because like I know we do. We all have challenges in our life. But find things to be thankful for in them, because God is in those things as well. And we can see God in the challenges as much as we can see in the blessings. We just need to look a bit harder. Remind ourselves. Sit down every day and go through 5 to 10 things that you're grateful for, just to make it a choice of saying, I am going to find things that I can be thankful to God for. And if you want to put topics on that, what am I thankful to God for? What am I thankful for my family for? What am I thankful for my friends for? What am I thankful for my community for? Practice ways of finding thankfulness in all that we do in our lives. The next thing is to keep a gratitude journal. And you don't have to do all of these. Pick what works for you. A gratitude journal. Write down what we're thankful for. Write down how God is doing things. Write down how God is answering our prayers. Write down what God is doing in us and around us and through us. Journaling is really important because we can see it. We can look back on it and reflect on what God's doing. Another way of being thankful is to help others. So often our thankfulness stops here and it needs to be outworked somewhere. One of the greatest changes in our lives can come through volunteering and helping other people. Again, psychologists have monitored this and said that actually writing a letter helps us to be 5 to 10% more positive. To actually giving someone a phone call can be 10 to 20% more positive in our lives by actually being grateful and thankful to others. Helping others is really, really important. Express yourself. Don't just hold it in, but be able to express to others your gratitude and your thankfulness. So often we focus on conversations of having a pity party, don't we? Okay, no one agreed, that's fine. But so often it's easy to discuss what's upsetting you and what's frustrating you and how people have let you down. What if we turn that around and say, make our conversations about how thankful we are, what good things have happened, what good things people are doing in and around us. Spend time with loved ones. How do we spend time with people we care about? And not just a one-way street. Relationships that are based on me being blessed are pretty shallow and poor. Relationships are about a two-way street. How do I support you? How do I feel supported? How do I care for you? How do I feel cared for? Spend time with loved ones. And the last thing is a gratitude rock. And it can be anything. A phone alarm, something that reminds us to be thankful. And a gratitude rock is just a little stone you put in your pocket. And whenever you put your hand in your pocket and you feel the stone, you think, what am I thankful for? What am I thankful for? So how do we create spaces and triggers that remind us to say, what am I grateful for? How can I be grateful? So there's some tips. And there's more. But what are you going to commit to this year? This week? What are you going to commit to this week to practice thankfulness? To practice gratitude to God? That's only just the start of it. But what are you going to commit to? We're going to go into a time of communion. So what I'm going to do is just to pray and then leave just a moment for you to sit before God and to be able to commit to Him what you're going to commit to do next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do, for the things that we see and the things that we don't see. Thank you that you are a good God, that as we look through our lives and as we look at the lives of those around us, we see your goodness. We see you doing good things. We see you being good. And Father, thank you that as you love us and you care for us, you bring about good in our lives. And again, that's sometimes harder to see, but Father, you are good, and we know that you are, and we trust that you are, because you are faithful and you are just and you have shown yourself to be good in the past. Father, help us to grow in gratitude, to grow in thankfulness. Help us to choose to be thankful and to find ways of being thankful. Father, help us of a people who are thankful. Help us to have conversations of gratitude, conversations of encouragement, conversations of celebration as we come together. And Father, help us to be people of faith who have learned from who you are, learned of what you've done, and trust you into the future as we walk closer and closer to you. Father, help us to be able to take this challenge of being people who are grateful. And Father, I ask that you lay before us how we can form better habits to being more thankful for who you are and what you're doing in our lives.